Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in live here on a Thursday edition of the show. Nick Hale, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you. Braden's got the morning off. He will be back at it tomorrow as we now go behind enemy lines. The Titans and the Falcons this week, a pair of 1-2 teams looking to avoid a dreadful 1-3 start. And we welcome in our buddy John Kincaid from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. JK, good morning. How are you, sir?
Everybody in Atlanta, they've got your back. That's the new T-shirt this week. Quinn. Dan Quinn has a T-shirt. It's like the like one of the Seashore Boardwalk T-shirt stores. Now it's got I got your back. Now that's the new thing because they're trying to circle the wagons before the ship goes down.
All right, I got you. So I'm looking at this from afar, and you would know much better than me. But I look at the Falcons and I see Matt Ryan's got six interceptions, I should say.
Right.
Keanu Neal hurt, injured. Is this deja vu all over again for Atlanta where the quarterback's turning it over and injuries are starting to pile up on the defense?
No, Matt Ryan threw 7 interceptions last year. Through 3 games, he's thrown 6. And 4 of them have been bad. I mean, if you're honest and you go back and look at him, it's been a bad start for Matt. But part of the reason is you got Dirk Cutter back in as the offensive coordinator. They salvaged him off the scrap heap in Tampa, brought him back for a second term. And as I told the fans of Atlanta when they brought him back, you people wanted him out of town with pitchforks and torches like it was Frankenstein. And they welcomed him back like it was some, wow, great to have Dirk Cutter back because he was the head coach in Tampa and failed. And they were, like, so excited to have him back. He throws the ball. Dirk Cutter, in his tenure as an offensive coordinator in the NFL, throws the ball at a greater percentage than any other offense. He is going, and right now they're throwing it roughly 71% of the time. It's stupid. It's not a winning formula. If you look at teams that throw that much, they're the garbage dwellers. They're the guys at the bottom of the barrel. And the offensive approach of the Falcons sucks. It's terrible. And they don't even try to bluff you that they are interested in the run. And Devontae Freeman, last week they had 2 running backs and one of them got hurt. And so they just abandoned it again. They're very reckless in the way that they approach things. And I got to tell you, I'm not impressed at all after a regrouping offseason.
Is it with Atlanta, because you look at them and you look at a team and you just kind of went over the whole thing and their woes. They have so much talent at the skill position, whether it's Ridley, Sanu, or, you know, to me, the best receiver probably in the game, and Julio Jones. If not, he's only second to Hopkins. Do you think it's because of that they're almost – it's almost one of these things where because you have all these weapons – you almost forced to throw the football, and then you have, like you said, you have Devontae Freeman and those running backs that have proven, especially Devontae Freeman, it's proven that he can run in his league.
Well, they're trying to switch from that zone blocking running scheme to now more of a power system, which is something that Dirk Cutter likes to do. Mm-hmm. But Derek, this team's built wrong. Mm-hmm. They're built wrong. They're constructed wrong. They go after all the shiny toys. I would liken it to a guy who goes out and buys the most expensive car in the lot that he can, and then he doesn't have the money to insure it or maintain it. This team is not built well along the lines of scrimmage. Now, I'll give them credit during the offseason. They used two number one picks to try to fix the offensive line. One of the guys injured, and another one of the guys hobbled. So there's some problems there. At least they've tried to address, and they went out and got some veterans too. But what they aren't is tough. What they aren't is a team with an identity. They've got no identity. They're a team that you don't know week to week. They balled out 2 weeks ago against the Eagles and played one of the most physical, like intimidating games I've ever seen them play. They looked like they came for a fight. And then last week in Indianapolis, they rolled over on their backs like my eight-month-old puppy. I mean, it's you don't know what you're going to get week to week. That's an indictment on Dan Quinn. It's an indictment on the leadership of this organization, that the guy at the front is all bumper sticker slogans and happy talk and all this. He's Tony Robbins with a whistle around his neck. I mean, and honestly, that's what it is. He's going to motivational speak you to death. He's going to give you a new T-shirt every week. And then his team might show up 1 week and then fails to show up the next. And to me, after this much time in the job, that's unacceptable.
And that would be a surprise to everybody, because where Dan Quinn comes from and that
right.
Seattle defense that was just predicated on pressure, and they had an attitude and a swagger about them. And it seems like, you know, over the last course, you know, 3-4 years, Dan Quinn has been there. This team has been one of the most erratic teams, considering what they have on that team as far as talent. And they've been one of the more softer teams in the National Football League.
You're damn well right. I mean, that's really what they are. And it's crazy, because he comes from Seattle, where they created that havoc. They tormented opposing quarterbacks. The Falcons are like the opposing quarterback's safe space. They might as well be in a room of puppies, because they just are just like, let's make you feel as comfortable as possible. They try to, talk the talk. They try to talk about that they're going to the havoc, great. They're going to get after people. They're going to get after quarterbacks. They're going to start to be fast and physical. That's one of the coach's greatest things. He wants to be fast and physical. This team ain't physical, and they don't intimidate opposing quarterbacks. And that's the problem. And it really is a problem, and it doesn't seem to change. There's no reason for me to believe, even if they came out with a great effort on Sunday, there's no reason for me to believe that in October it'll be sustainable, and that in November we'll see glimpses again, and then it'll go away again. I think people are at the end of their ropes with Dan Quinn.
John Kincaid, 680 The Fan in Atlanta, joining us here on Morning Drive. Let's actually get to the front office then. Is Thomas Dimitroff's job in trouble?
TD is, he's been the architect of the best era of Falcons football. Now, that's like saying he wrote the episodes of the best year of Full House. They all sort of sucked, but there was one year that maybe was a little better. I don't know what was the special episodes that were good that year. I mean, Thomas Dimitroff got the Falcons to 5 consecutive winning seasons. He will have my ultimate respect for that, because when he took the general manager's job in 2008, and he hired a guy that nobody knew in Mike Smith, they went on to 5 straight winning seasons. To me, that's incredible for a franchise that had never had back-to-back winning seasons. That said, hired in 2008, we're dawning on 2020 coming up here, and the Falcons are honestly back where they started. Mediocrity, up 1 week, down the next. And again, I think they're constructed wrong. But Dan Quinn was given a lot of control of this roster. When Dan Quinn was hired, they salvaged Thomas Dimitroff's job and allowed Dan Quinn to have the final say on his roster. Well, I don't want Dan Quinn picking the beer league softball team right now. He finds individuals that look like they're good, but he doesn't put a good puzzle together. He doesn't put a good scheme together of a bunch of different players, and to me, that's the really disappointing part.
JK, final one for me. Let's transition quickly from football to baseball, because a lot of Braves fans in the Nashville market and in Middle Tennessee. So obviously the playoffs coming up. Are Atlanta fans that love the Falcons, love the Braves, maybe love Atlanta United and the Hawks, are they all kind of shifting their focus a little bit away from football and gearing up for the postseason in baseball?
The Braves have, thankfully, last year it was the curiosity. It was, well, first off, if you guys haven't been down to Battery Atlanta yet and seen the scene, as I would say, of the Braves' new stadium and the whole vibe there, it's awesome. And last year during the postseason, fans were like, hey, we're back in the postseason. It's exciting. This year, they're coming to kick the door in. Brian Snitker the other night said, you know, right as he addressed his team, first thing after winning the division title, he goes, last year you're happy to be here. This year we're going to kick the mother bleeping door in. And they want to win a postseason series. They want to show that this they're one of the youngest teams in baseball. They got high upside. They have 97 wins. They have plenty of money to spend in the future. Braves fans are really excited. And the Braves are everything the Falcons aren't. Braves are everything the Falcons aren't. They're young. They're promising. They have a future. They are overachieving. They are fun. The Braves are fun. Acuna and Albies and everything, they're fun. And they've got a leader in Brian Snitker who, honestly, he stays the hell out of the way. He expects young men and expects his team to be professionals. He doesn't overmanage. He doesn't overguide and overlead. And the man is desperate to stay out of the spotlight, to be a guy in the background, to let his players be the focus, to let his players be celebrated. He's everything you want. And I'm extremely confident the Braves will be in the National League Championship Series. Will they win it? Who knows? But I can tell you this, they believe they can. And that's something that's exciting. And hopefully the people from Nashville come on down now. If you didn't get tickets, they're all ready to standing room for the postseason games for the first series. It's going to be a zoo down here in Atlanta. It's beautiful.
JK, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much for popping on.
See you later, buddy.
You got it. John Kincaid, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Can you tell he's a Philadelphia guy?
Oh, pretty much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's right about everyone should go take a look at what they, that whole little kind of community they built at the Braves ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And how that thing is constructed, how you walk in. It's like a little, I don't know what you would call it, complex or, you know, like a little city, small little city. They got every, you walk in there and there's restaurants, everything. There's, you know, hotels that sit above. It is just, it's the coolest thing. And whoever designed that, they did a wonderful job. And I think every sport team should go look at what Atlanta's, what they have done and try to replicate
that. And it's not just for baseball, which, by the way, they're on their third baseball stadium in the last 25 years. They went from Fulton County Stadium to Turner Field to SunTrust Park now. New football stadium. They just refinished their basketball arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like every 5-10 years, Atlanta gets a new stadium. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and the basketball arena is nice, dude. Yeah. It is really nice.
Yeah, so I actually went to the Braves Stadium in a playoff game against the Dodgers last year, mm-hmm. and had my Dodgers gear on and everything. It is crazy. They got apartments in this place.
Yeah.
They got Mark Wahlberg's like burger spot. They got that in there. And it's like just like one big community, and it's awesome. They had a concert playing on one end, had something else going on the other end. It's insane. And for an away opposing fan like myself wearing Dodgers gear, I enjoyed my time there.
Titans, so when you're rebuilding your, when you're redoing your stadium and your whole little area across the Cumberland, go take a look at what they did with Turner, what is it, SunTrust Field, and how they built a little community over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff show from 7 to 9:30. NFL pregame will be live from the George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders. It's all brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealer, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. We'll come back. Some startling thoughts on the future of Marcus Mariota. We're back after this on Morning Drive.
I'm going to give you some startling facts on your future, man. That, listen, if you don't go to Cool Springs MD, then your future is looking pretty bleak. And when I say bleak, I mean really bleak. If you don't go there like I did, and I'm going to tell you what they're going to help you with, because your future don't have to be bleak, man. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean, you know, things need to stop. You can't do the things you used to do, you know, when you were younger. Now, you can't go out and party all night, but if you go see Cool Springs, you go see Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, they will give you the treatment required to improve your quality of life. And then you can go out every other weekend, twice a month with the missus and have a good old time with the family and have a good old time. You know what? And your energy levels, because this is what they do for you. They have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, because I'm from Franklin, and the surrounding areas here in Tennessee. Because here's the thing. This is what they will help you with. They will improve your immune system, energy levels, which means you can go out and have a good time with the wife or the kids, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And when you have a healthy and more enriched life, everyone around you is happy. And there's no better time to achieve a healthier lifestyle, man, than now. What are you waiting on? Do like I did. Go visit the good folks at Cool Springs MD. I made an appointment, so why don't you? And this is how I did it. I picked up my cell phone. I unlocked it. And I dialed these digits. Check it out. Here they are. Pull over and write them down, okay? Don't text and drive. Pull over. Here it is. 615-660-6900. You can't forget that. Come on. 615-660-6900. Or visit their website if you're at your computer and you're listening to the show on the app. Tap that app. It's CoolSpringsMD.com. The black of the berry, the sweeter the juice, the sad the darker the flesh, and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac cares
two when P-A-C no,
nobody
cares.
Else care. Tupac cares
wow.
when no, nobody else care.
Could be the best D-Mace rejoiner we've had in 21 months.
Man.
That was really well.
I knew the words to that one.
That was solid. Yeah. I like it.
You got his name wrong. So it's
2PAC, not Tupac. 2PAC.
You guys always got to throw that little jab. Can't make a mistake when you're 11 years old and live it down. All right. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Mace, Marquise with you. Brayden's got the morning off. He'll be back tomorrow. But how about this? I don't know if Marcus Mariota will be back next year. Kind of interesting story on ESPN.com where six NFL insiders and experts and analysts determined the fate of Marcus Mariota for 2020 and where he will be. Matt Bowen, Casey Joyner, Kevin Seifert, Field Yates, and a handful of others. And the big takeaway from this, and we can get into some of the specifics of what they say, but four of the six believe that Marcus will be a backup in 2020, whether that's here in Nashville or elsewhere.
If he stays here in Nashville, he won't be a backup, at least not the first year. The Tennessee Titans are not going to be a bad team where they're picking, you know, anywhere in the top, I think, 15. But can they get a quarterback after that? Yeah, possibly they can get a quarterback after, you know, after the 15th pick. You know, will they draft one? That's to be determined. But I think... I think that there's when a team doesn't sign a running back, a receiver, a left tackle on their last deal, people, you know, you say, okay, yeah, I understand why, but I mean, they can keep them. They just want to see how the season goes, and they can always sign them to a new deal at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to be so proactive to re-sign a guy at a skill position or something like that. Maybe a defensive end, yes, or tackle. You know, those once-in-a-generation guys, yes. But like Jalen Ramsey, even though he's once-in-a-generational, he's that transcending type player, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not in a rush to sign him. They know they want to sign him, but they're not in a rush. The quarterback position is different. Because if you believe truly in your heart that the guy that has been at your organization the last 3, 4, 5 years is the guy, you're going to sign him to a long-term deal.
It's not something you meddle with.
Exactly. That's not something you just kind of tinker with. It's kind of like a car. You know, if your engine light is on and you hear that sound and it's barely getting you to places, it's getting you, but it's barely getting you to places. You're going to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to wait around and say, you know what, I'll go deal with it later. Because if you do, then you end up paying more in the end. So you want to get it done right now so your car can run well. That's how the quarterback position is, too. If you know there's a problem or if you know you got the guy, then you're going to sign him. You know, you're not going to wait you know, for anything to happen. You're going to sign that guy right now.
Like the situation with the Chargers and Melvin Gordon, you play the game because it's the running back position and you see who blinks first.
Exactly.
Will he end his holdout? You know, who's going to come to terms on a deal? When, like, to your point, exactly, when you know you've got your quarterback, you get it done.
Yeah.
The only exception might be Dak Prescott in Dallas, but I still think Dak's getting paid.
Oh, Dak's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, at least for a year he will be. And Dallas is going to play him as such because he's playing lights out right about now. And they need to sign him now before the end of the season because they're going to end up paying more at the end of the season. Again, I go back to it's like a girlfriend. You meet that girl and you know she's the one. You don't want to wait around. You want to marry her. I want to marry you. I'm not going to wait to the next guy. I'm not going to wait 2 years and then the next guy come in.
You get the ring and
exactly.
You propose.
You get the ring, you propose, she's here, we're done.
So John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, they haven't even gone to Kay Jewelers yet to look for the ring.
No, they haven't even gone to Kay Jewelers. And that is a huge indictment on Marcus and where they are with Marcus. Because if they believed that Marcus was the guy, and always look at what Philadelphia did with Wentz. Wentz has been hurt the last 2 years prior to this year. And you know what they said? We're locking this guy up because we believe he's the future. Even though he's been hurt, We believe he's the future.
I said on Friday I was done with Marcus. I don't believe he's the guy. I don't believe you're going to go from good to great with number eight. But I have a hard time believing, even though I don't think he's the guy for Tennessee, I have a hard time believing that he's a backup in this league. Like, there's probably, and I'd have to go through all the teams and look at the standings and see who the quarterback is, but it feels like Marcus could still be a low-end starting quarterback in this league on one of the five or six teams that are struggling on, like, some type of short-term bridge deal while said franchise looks for their guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's a clipboard carrier the rest of his life.
He's not a bad. At this point of his career, he's young. He still has some good play in him. He's not a bad quarterback. He's a good quarterback in a league full of good quarterbacks. He can go. He's not a guy that's next year is going to be a backup. I don't think he's going to be a backup there. Wherever he goes, I don't think he will be a backup. Even if he stayed here for a year, I don't think he would be a backup. I mean, he can go to Buffalo and start, I believe, over Allen. Miami definitely and start. The Bengals, yes. Maybe the Jets, because you don't know what's happening with Darnold. He can go to Jacksonville and possibly be a starter.
Yeah? You think?
Yeah.
After losing to Gardner Minshew?
Nah, yeah, you might be right.
On Delta Stash.
Yeah,
he's better than Minshew.
But if you look at it, the bigger part, he's better than Minshew. Oakland, he could possibly go and be a starter. So there are teams that he can go to and be a starter. He's not a clipboard guy, but he's just not. I don't think he's the guy for this team. Now, he could be the guy for some other team. Like, if he got with Andy Reid, he would be a much different quarterback. He wouldn't be Mahomes, but he would be a much different quarterback.
Would he guide Kansas City to the playoffs if he replaced Patrick Mahomes right now?
Whew, yeah.
But they wouldn't be a Super Bowl contender?
No.
Okay.
Because I believe in Andy Reid so much. Andy Reid can take any quarterback, and he's proven. If you're good, I can make you better. Now, you might not be, you know, Mahomes, but I can make you better than what you were at your previous stops. He did it with Alex Smith. He did it with Foles, you know, when he was at Philly.
Wasn't 2012, last six games of the year.
He did it with Foles. He has this way of taking – he's the true quarterback whisperer. He's the offensive whisperer. That guy just takes a lot of guys and make them dudes. And Marcus could go to some place like that and thrive. But I just don't think – I don't think he's the guy here.
All right, we will get into this more when we come back. 615-737-1025 is the number. Morning Drive rolls on next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Morning Drive live here on a Thursday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick DeMace, Marquise. Braden will be back tomorrow morning. So we're talking about The latest on ESPN.com, where six NFL insiders and analysts predict where Marcus Mariota will be playing next year. Four of the six guys think that he will be a backup next year. Let's go through these. D-Mace, I'm going to get your reaction to these predictions. Matt Bowen, former safety in the NFL with ESPN, says that Marcus Mariota will be an Oakland Raider next year, or a Las Vegas Raider. He says the Raiders brought in Mike Glennon and picked up DeShone Kizer to fill out their depth chart behind Derek Carr. Mariota will be an upgrade over both, and the Raiders will have plenty of cap space in 2020. Could you see Marcus Mariota backing up Derek Carr, or maybe even taking his job?
And Marquise and I were talking about this during the break. That is one of the teams I can see him going to. I think John Gruden, I think John loved him coming out of college. I think he would put things in place to be able to, you know, use Marcus and utilize his strength as a player. Quick passing game, play action. So I can see Oakland, or when he gets there, if he gets there, the Las Vegas Raiders as one of those destinations where I think he can go and he can thrive under that system. So, yeah, I can see the Raiders as being, you know, but then where does that put Derek Carr?
Yeah, know? But I look at it as, are you going to build around Mariota? Because right now, when you look at this Raiders roster, they really don't have the pieces that the Titans. I would give the Titans defense an edge over the Raiders defense. As far as skill players, I think the running game is better with Derrick Henry and more established than it is with Josh Jacobs right now. And they don't have any wide receivers for Marcus Mariota to throw it to. So the question would be, yeah, getting a guy like Marcus Mariota is cool, but are you going to be able to get some pieces around him to elevate his game? And because basically, if you're going to send him to Oakland, you're basically just going to have the West Coast version of the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at this point, if you're looking at Marcus to be a starter, you better surround him and equip him with a ton of talent. No doubt about it. Casey Joyner from ESPN says Marcus Mariota will be in Houston. Bill O'Brien has made the most out of quarterbacks with a lot less talent than Mariota. Combine him with what Houston needing a backup quarterback, and that would make sense. A lot of salary cap space in 2020 would be a perfect fit in many ways. Could you envision Marcus backing up Deshaun Watson in this division?
No, I don't see Marcus going nowhere near the Houston Texans. Marcus believes he's a starter in this league. Why would I then go to an organization where I have no shot at competing for the starting quarterback job? If Marcus doesn't remain with the Tennessee Titans, he's going somewhere where he has a legitimate shot at starting this year and having it and furthering his NFL career. He's not going to Houston and sit around and be a backup, because I think he's better than a backup.
But here's the thing, though. When we talk about starting quarterbacks in this league, except for the guys like Tom Brady that are taking less for the sake of the team and reworking their deals, starting quarterbacks are all, what, $25 million plus at this point? If Marcus becomes a free agent, do you think somebody's going to give him $25, $30 million a year, not named John Robinson?
Hey, that's the starting rate. 20, well, yeah. You know, close to 20, if not 20 million, if you want him to be a starter. I know the whole Jacoby Brissett contract kind of, you know, sticks a pin in that theory. But, you know, if Jacoby Brissett has a good year this year, best believe he will be going back to the table and he will be getting more than 20, you know, than the 15 million he will be getting for next season. And again, Marcus is a starting quarterback, but he's just not a starting quarterback for a lot of teams, and he may not be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. That's the problem. I mean, we've seen enough of Marcus. Again, he's not a bad quarterback. He's a good quarterback amongst a bunch of good quarterbacks. What does he do to separate himself from those other, you know, there are, what, three or four elite quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's everyone else. What does he do that separates himself from the other good quarterbacks? And if you can't truly point out something, then it's like, okay, well, we can possibly get somebody to replace him. But he is a star. I believe he is a starter.
Final one. Field Yates says, what about the Green Bay Packers? We always look for relationships and connections when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. So I'll turn to a reunion of Mariota and Matt LaFleur, his offensive coordinator last year, and be the backup to Aaron Rodgers.
I don't see Marcus as a backup, but, and I know this contradicts what I said earlier about Deshaun Watson. And here's the only reason I say it might work in Green Bay. Deshaun Watson is what, 20 some years old. So he's there for at least 10 years. If he stays healthy, continues to play the way he's been playing, as far as his stats and everything else, he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years in Houston. So Marcus has no shot. Well, Aaron Rodgers is more so on the back end of his career. You know, Aaron might only want to play, you know, 3-4 more years. Well, if that's the case, then Marcus would be in a prime position to take over for Aaron Rodgers. And Green Bay will always be in a position, I believe, where they're not drafting in the top 10 or 15. So having Marcus that young, even if he sits for 3 years, he's still, what, under 20? He's right at 30?
It'd be 20, 28?
28. So he's still under 20. I mean, he's still, you know, in that 20 range.
Mm-hmm.
He's under 30. So that might be a possibility.
Here's a possibility. I'll play off of what you just said about Aaron Rodgers getting up there in years. I don't think people realize Aaron Rodgers is 36 or 37 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he sat for 3 years behind Brett Favre, so he's not a spring chicken by any stretch. But Jared sends us a tweet. He says, I'm just afraid Belichick gets a hold of Marcus,
yes. And
he'll dink and dunk himself to another championship.
And you know what, Jared? You are absolutely – and that was in my mind when I started talking about
– Could you imagine that?
When I started talking about Green Bay and the years that Aaron Rodgers has, the first thing that came to mind after that was Tom Brady in the New England Patriots. Jared is right. If he goes – I know Tom says he wants to play until he's 45, 50 – but realistically, Tom has, what, two, three more years?
Tops.
If Belichick gets a guy like Marcus, it expedites Tom's time. Because now Bill feels like he has a quarterback that can do exactly what I want him to do. And he can run the ball.
Just imagine living in a world, as a Tennessee Titans fan, where your head coach is Mike Vrabel, former Patriot. Deion Lewis, former Patriot. Logan Ryan. Malcolm Butler, this guy, that guy, former Patriots, the Patriot way. Tom Brady retires. Marcus Mariota finishes his contract with the Titans or finishes up a bridge deal for 2 years, goes to New England, wins a Super Bowl. We got all the guys that Belichick didn't want. Belichick gets our quarterback, and he just keeps doing what he does.
Yeah, see, and then he has Jared Stidham behind him, so he might be just building Jared Stidham up to be like a poor man's Jimmy G, and then he's going to trade him away for a pick and then get a pick to build around Marcus Mariota.
Man, Jared Stidham ain't nobody's poor man, nothing. He's a poor man, Jared Stidham, which is even worse.
He's a backup.
Exactly. He's a career backup. But if you know
someone's going to take a chance on him.
If you get a guy like Marcus – that does a 2-3 year deal where they're paying him, you know, over $10 million a year, right at $10 million, somewhere around there, knowing that he will eventually be your starter, because Bill knows that. Bill looks at him and say, you know what? I can work with him in this system. I don't have to start all over again with the quarterback. Once Tom retires, I can just seamlessly usher Marcus in, and we can continue to go. Because he can do all of those things that Bill wants him to do. Short passes, short passes, short passes. Every now and then, throw a deep, hurry up offense, fast pace. And he can run the ball, too, when need be.
Yep.
You know, I would be so upset. If he goes and then ends up being a starter in New England and wins the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'll just call it what it is. That would be a kick in the stones to Titans fans.
It would be.
Yeah. Here's a number that's going to blow you away. Alan Bell, our buddy from 24/7 Sports. Marcus Mariota has 22 games where he has thrown for zero touchdowns since 2015. That is the most in the NFL during that span. 22 games since coming into the league. No touchdowns in a game. That equates to 37.2% of games that Marcus has played where he hasn't thrown a touchdown.
And here's the thing. That has nothing, and I mean nothing, to do with personnel. Because you can't tell me that personnel has been that bad where out of, you know, in 22 games he didn't throw for a touchdown. You know, you have some, I mean, look at Miami's roster. Depleted. The last couple of years, they've been bad. You look at some of these bad rosters, Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions, and their quarterback still manages to throw touchdowns. We can scream and yell about Marcus didn't have the, you know, personnel. He had some good players. He just wasn't good when they needed him to be. Again, Is he a starting quarterback in this league? Yes. He's a good quarterback amongst a bunch of other good quarterbacks.
But as I said last Friday at Kitchen Notes, you will never go from good to great with number 8. That's not just a catchphrase for a t-shirt. That's not just a Nick Cale slogan. You're seeing it with your eyes. Mace, you've been preaching it for a while. The stats don't lie. 37% of his games hasn't thrown a touchdown in his career.
And I don't know what it is. I really don't, man, because this guy was and Jameis Winston is having the same problems. This guy was he seemed to be a can't miss prospect, meaning, you know, this is the guy that was going to win you a bunch of games. Like, this was the guy that was going to be one of the better young quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Well, and to your point now, his career record is 28-30.
Yeah, so
so this notion of Marcus wins games, no, the reality is he's got a losing record.
Yeah, you're right. And
I know he inherited crap. I get that.
But, I mean, facts don't lie, and we can try to fudge the numbers and whatnot. But as I've always said, and y'all know, if he was somebody else's quarterback, we would say he was trash. We would. But he's our quarterback, and, you know, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, like just about every fan base do with their quarterback. But what I'm going to say is he's a good quarterback amongst a bunch of other good quarterbacks. And the Titans are not going to consistently win and make it to the playoff with just a good quarterback.
Coming up next, you'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel regarding one player who's unavailable in his extracurricular activities. That's next on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, Nick DeMace and Marquise with you. Braden's got the morning off. He'll be back tomorrow. Loaded show this morning. We had John Kincaid on about 45 minutes ago talking about the Titans-Falcons matchup from the Atlanta perspective. Also, top of the hour, Rick Stockstill is going to join us. We'll head up to Murfreesboro as MTSU goes on the road this week to take on 14th-ranked Iowa. Joe Rexroad, Greg Wyshynski, busy show this morning, but we talked about Delanie Walker earlier in the show and his comments regarding younger players compared to when he came into the league 14 years ago and how they react to a loss. One of the other things that has been something that I've actually brought up on this show is Taylor Lewan, while serving his suspension and doing the Bussing with the Boys podcast while being unavailable. Well, here was a little exchange yesterday with the head coach, Mike Vrabel, and the media regarding Taylor Lewan.
I haven't had any contact with Taylor, nor do I stay up with the podcast. Just focused on these guys that are here, trying to find a way to get them to 2-2. I'm going to do everything I can to focus on the guys that are here and coach them and influence them and try to teach them the best I can. And then, you know, the other ones that come in, I'll do my best to make sure that they do everything to put the team first. That's what we're all trying to do.
So let's get into this a little bit, because I believe it was Paul Kaharsky that pressed him on this. I don't know if Lewan has released a new episode or not while being suspended, but that was brought up again yesterday. It's something that I feel like if, in fact, you are, it's a bad look.
Yeah, I don't follow, you know, his Bussing with the Boys thing.
Like, I see it on Twitter, but I've never listened to a full episode.
I've never listened to it. And not to say it's bad or anything, or I have anything against it. I just hadn't listened to it. Maybe I need to, because Taylor seems like, you know, he's an engaging guy, and he enjoys, you know, interviews and whatnot. So I'm not saying I haven't listened to it because I dislike Taylor or dislike his Bussing with the Boys, you know, thing. I just hadn't had a chance to listen to it. And again, maybe I should listen to it. But yeah, you're right. If he and I want to believe he's not doing it while he's suspended. That's what I want to believe, because like you said, if he is doing it and putting out content, then it's a very bad look. Regardless of how you try to slice it, you can say, well, he's, you know, he can do what he wants to. He's a grown man and he's not on the team. I'm sure he's still working out and everything else. Yeah, you're right. And he does have a right to continue to promote his brand and whatnot, but it's still a bad look when your fellow teammates are out there busting their ass and working hard and you're sitting in the back and you're doing podcasts. And I'm not saying Taylor's doing that. I'm just saying if.
Now, keep in mind, though, Vrabel was on one of the episodes with Taylor Lewan, but this was before the suspension news came out. Obviously, Vrabel probably had no issue with him doing it. Do you think now that Vrabel's in football mode and the season's underway that he thinks differently about the whole concept?
Of course. You don't want anything that's going to distract you from football, from what you're doing. Just like the whole article with Jackson and what he's doing. That's great. You know, what Jackson, you know, is doing and trying to promote himself and trying to build his brand. That is great after the season. It doesn't need to happen during the season.
And when you're having issues yourself.
Exactly, when you're having issues yourself. We're not saying don't build your brand, because do it. You have every right. But know why that brand is being built. Mm-hmm. It's because of what you're doing on the football field. Make no mistake. If you were not one of the marquee players, or if you were not a first-round guy, those things that you are able to do, you wouldn't be able to do them, because wouldn't nobody want to have time for you?
No, it's true. And I've said on this show many times, I want more interesting players. I want those type of guys on this team to make them more compelling to talk about from a talk show standpoint.
Exactly.
But the reality is, when Taylor Lewan does podcasts and then you get whacked for four games, or Adoree Jackson has got a write-up in the USA Today sports section about his, you know, not only does he want to be a great corner, but he wants to have a career in entertainment. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to read it. You don't want to see it when a guy like Adoree Jackson is fumbling punts and putting you down 7-0 to Jacksonville.
Exactly. When you are not out there performing the way you should be performing, giving your gift and talent as a player, then people don't want to hear about the extracurricular stuff. You have every right to have those things, but people feel as if they are a distraction. And they might not even be a distraction, but perception is reality. That's why I said if Taylor is doing, and I don't know, and people, I don't know if Taylor's doing that or not. I don't, because I don't listen to his podcast. His podcast might be great. I just haven't had the time to listen to it. But if indeed he is, and this is only if he is, listen to me, because I know people have selective hearing. If he is, keyword is, doing it while the season's going on and he's suspended, then it's a bad, bad, bad look.
Yeah, we just got a tweet from Gavin. He says, I think the plan was that they did a ton of interviews over the summer, and I think we realized that that's when the Jalen Ramsey episode was taped, and then they release them throughout the season. But I guess I'm just a little taken back by why it was brought up again yesterday.
Yeah, I don't did something happen that caused certain media members to bring it up? And those media members have a right to bring it up. If indeed, you know, it's out there like that, they have a right to bring it up and ask the head coach. I mean, it's a question that everybody wants to get an answer for. And I think Vrabel answered it, you know, the best way he could. Listen, I'm worried about the guys that are here. When the guys that aren't here are here, then I will worry about them. But right now, I need to get my team to 2-2. How do I do that?
615-737-1025, the number. Let's go with Nick, who's next on Morning Drive. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Just to kind of give you a little update on Bussing with the Boys, they filmed, like, they backfilled a bunch of episodes. I believe it was over a dozen, like 14 before the season even started. They actually did just film their very first one since the season has started, but I just kind of wanted to know.
Oh, man, I knew that was that. So, did he
Thank
say
you, Nick.
They've since filmed another?
Yeah.
Did he just say that?
Porth just sent me a text. He says the last episode was recorded during the suspension.
That's a bad look.
So then
look.
That's why this being brought
no
up again.
No wonder it was brought. That's a bad look. You, again, perception is reality in this league. And you can't do that.
I agree.
You just can't when you
I brought this up weeks ago.
Suspended and your suspension is hurting the team right now because you're arguably the best player on that team. And the best player on that team, probably the best left tackle in football, isn't playing, and then you go and shoot a podcast, busting with – that's not a good look, man.
Yeah, coming off of a week where your quarterback was hit more than he ever has been.
You got to – I mean, guys.
Nine sacks.
Yeah, guys, you just like Herm Edwards say, think before you send. Think before you tape, man. I mean, I know – are you getting paid? I don't know.
You think this goes over well with Delanie Walker?
No.
34, 35-year-old tight end who says, yeah, the league's a lot different than what it was when I came back in 2006.
No, it doesn't go well. And I'm pretty sure Vrabel heard that, and he probably – somebody brought it someone brought that up to Vrabel before it was asked of him. And I'm pretty sure he just shook his head like, you know, what can I do? I mean, I got to worry about the guys that are here. But that is a bad, bad, bad look. That's like Odell Beckham and them going on a boat right before a playoff game. You just don't do it, man. Whether you can or, you know, you're a grown person. You can do what you want to. But the optics are all bad, especially when your team is struggling on the offensive line.
Yeah, nobody cares when you're successful and when you're winning and when you're available.
Exactly.
When you're unavailable, you're losing and – Taylor Lewan's suspension is certainly a factor in this team being 1-2. Bad look. Optics are the great word for it. Optics are not good. We will come back and transition a little college football talk. Rick Stockstill, head coach MTSU, is going to join us. They've had a killer schedule. As if it wasn't bad enough going to Michigan to start the year, they're going to 14th-ranked Iowa this week. Rick Stockstill next on Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.